much of what we have heard about the elevation of the soul in Krishna consciousness from the mode of ignorance to the mode of passion to the mode of goodness to actually the transcendental platform depends on one's knowledge. Sometimes that we say that advancements in Krishna consciousness or Krishna consciousness does not depend on knowledge. What we mean by that is not knowledge about Krishna, because advancements in Krishna consciousness completely depends on knowledge about Krishna. We mean that it doesn't depend on knowledge that we are not our body. That knowledge is not necessary, nor do we need to cultivate that knowledge. Because jnanagyasru vairagyam jnanam chayara haitukam, that along with devotional service to Vasudeva, to Lord Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, quickly comes knowledge and detachment from this world. But that devotional service to Krishna, that means for the living entity to take the devotional service to Krishna, it means that he has to understand who he is, that he is Krishna's part and parcel, and that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he has different forms in Vaikuntha, he has different forms in Ayodhya, he has different forms in Goloka, Gokula, Vraja, Dwarka, Mathura. We have to know about these things for one reason, so we can know where we want to go. Because Krishna explains in the fourth chapter, Yayutamam Prapajante, Samsutavabhajamyam, that whatever we want, Krishna will reciprocate with us. So to hear about Krishna, to know about Krishna, that is certainly not outside of Krishna consciousness, it is actually the essence of Krishna consciousness. And when one focuses his mind on Krishna, especially, and what was recommended, as we heard before in the third chapter, we heard up to the point of that one has to be detached from the fruit of his work, yet do his duty. And then in the fifth chapter, one actually realizes, we heard how someone realizes he's not his body, and then we also heard that he focuses his mind on Krishna. And he's doing his duty, he's understanding the modes of material nature are working, but he focuses his mind on Krishna. And to focus one's mind on Krishna, one needs knowledge, transcendental knowledge of Krishna. So if that thing that brings detachment, and that thing that brings us that determines where we will go, either to Brahman or Paramatma or Bhagavan, if that thing is transcendental knowledge that will detach us from this world and even determines where we will be situated in the spiritual world, if that thing is actually transcendental knowledge, how important is transcendental knowledge? It makes the difference between being bound in the material world or to being liberated in the spiritual world. And it makes a difference where we will go. We should not neglect transcendental knowledge in any way. So where is that? How is that transcendental knowledge obtained? Krishna even had said in the end of the third chapter that we just read yesterday that one should, that it is kaam or lust. What does it cover? It covers our transcendental knowledge. It focuses us. Focus us in the bodily concept of life. Well, lust, kaam. It covers our knowledge of who we are and focuses us in the bodily concept of life. So it is, kaam covers knowledge, and this is the situation of all conditioned living entities in this world. Their true nature is covered by the different thicknesses of kaam or selfish desires. Different thicknesses of selfish desire cover who we are and force us to identify with our body and our mind to a great degree or to a small degree. So how to remove this and how to get transcendental knowledge of who we actually are
We cannot get it through speculation, through our own intelligence. So Krishna is going to explain how to get it, and we'll talk about that point a little bit later. In the fourth chapter, after explaining in the third chapter the importance of transcendental knowledge, in this fourth chapter, Krishna explains two things, what we're going to read anyway today. First thing is how to get transcendental knowledge, and the second thing is what is transcendental knowledge. We've heard of one type of transcendental knowledge already. That's transcendental knowledge. We are not our body. But the transcendental knowledge that Krishna is going to give in this chapter is even higher than that knowledge, that we are not our body. Because he's going to tell about himself. And because knowledge that we are not our body is not exactly transcendental knowledge, because it comes from goodness. It is not actually transcendental knowledge, but this knowledge about who Krishna is not born of goodness at all. Because no matter how good we are, no matter how expert we are at intellectual speculation, no matter how well we know how to use inductive logic, but we can never understand about Krishna using an ascending method. Rather, transcendental knowledge is always coming down to us. It enters this universe. This universe, we say, is dark. Just like an example that we give is a coconut. A coconut is a closed sphere, and there's no light inside. So similarly, this universe has no light inside. It needs a sun. Rather, there's no way to get light from outside. It needs something inside. So therefore it needs a sun to bring some light. And the coconut has no light inside. So if one wants to get something, some information from outside, this closed universe, what is the system? One cannot speculate any more than the frog in the well can understand what the ocean is like. We are all familiar with that story. The frog inside the well, he's sitting there croaking and croaking. And another frog jumps in and says, "I've seen the ocean. And it's so big." And the frog in the well says, "Oh, it is so big? Do you mean it is two times as big as my well?" And the frog who's seen the ocean says, "No, you don't understand. It's really big. It's really big." And the frog in the well says, "Oh, you mean it's three times as big as my well?" "No, no, no, you have the wrong idea. It is vast, it's huge, it's really big." "You mean it is six times as big as my well? Seven times as big? 10 times as big as my well? 20 times as big as my well?" So in this way, when our perceptions are limited by our experience, we can never fathom that the Supreme Lord is the Lord of Goloka Vrindavan. And that his body is transcendental. And he likes to have a peacock feather on his head. And his skin is bluish black, the color of a fresh monsoon cloud, or the color of the tamal tree, the bark of the tamal tree that is in the courtyard of Krishna Balaram Mandir. How can anyone understand that? Transcendental knowledge means knowledge that descends from outside of the universe into the universe. There is no way that someone in the dark universe can understand this unless he hears it from someone who is getting information from outside this universe. So therefore, Narottama Das Thakur has sung Golokera Prema Dano Hari Nama Sankirtan, that this Sankirtan movement, the sound vibration, Hare Krishna, and all the information about Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam, it is descending from Goloka Vrindavan through the disciplic succession. It is descending into this world by Krishna's mercy through the disciplic succession. And we have to hear submissively with an open heart. And actually speaking, if we hear from a self-realized soul with our heart open, that means our faith completely intact, that instantaneously as we hear, we will realize. And if we start at the first canto of the Bhagavatam, we will realize everything as we are going along until the tenth canto. Because that sound vibration, this information, is this transcendental knowledge and the sound vibration of Krishna's names and Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is so potent because it is not of this world, it is of the spiritual world. Krishna's Sve Dhamma Upagate Jnana Dhamma Sabhisaha Kalo Nasta Drisha Mesha Puranarko Duno Nitaha. That Krishna, in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam, has arisen, just like the sun arises in the morning to dispel all darkness. Because that Bhagavatam is Krishna. Krishna Sve Dhamma Upagate. Krishna and his abode have come in the form of the Bhagavatam. And Krishna is in the form of the holy name, actually descending into the material world. And therefore, what we have to do is come under the shelter of the light of the Bhagavatam and the holy name. We have to come under that shelter, and that is called actually Guru Parasrai, Ado Guru Parasrai. Coming under the shelter of the internal energy by taking shelter of the spiritual master. This is what it means. It is this transcendental knowledge comes from the spiritual world, enters the material world by Krishna's mercy. This is Krishna's mercy. Sometimes we think that, oh Krishna, you know, I have a headache today, please get rid of my headache. Oh Krishna, I have this problem, it's so cold, I don't have a sleeping bag, please help me. Oh, my mother is so sick, please help me. Oh, my enemy is giving me so much trouble, please help me. Oh, I don't have any money, please help me. And then when we get money, our enemy walks in front of a tata truck, and or maybe we push them a little. Or our headache goes away, we think, oh, Krishna is so kind to us. But actually, that's not Krishna's kindness at all. Krishna's kindness is that he gives the light of the Bhagavatam that dispels the darkness of Kali Yuga. And he gives the association of his devotees. And he gives Vrindavan Dham. And he gives the holy name. And he gives us a taste for hearing the Bhagavatam. And he gives the Bhagavatam. And he gives the Bhagavad Gita. That is Krishna's mercy. Because that, the other mercy of getting money, getting rid of your headache, getting your strength back in your arm, getting rid of this problem and that, getting some money, that can be taken care of within the material world. But this other mercy can be taken care of by Krishna's mercy. Because in that mercy, if we get the shelter of it, and that all those things, all that paraphernalia, all those things we mentioned about Krishna, Krishna's name, Krishna's Bhagavatam, the devotees, this is all the internal energy of the Lord. It is not; they are not material. And if we attain that shelter, that means attaining Krishna's shelter. So how to hear this science, and Krishna here in the fourth chapter is especially referring the personality of God has said, Imam vivasvate yogam proktaman ahamabhyam vivasvan manave praha mana ikshvakave bravi. The personality of God is, Sri Krishna said, I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god Vivasvan. And Vivasvan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind, and Manu in turn instructed it to Ikshvaku. So what is that science? The science that was just heard, the science of making advancement by doing one's work, with detachment and focusing one's mind on Krishna. That is the science. That is the science of advancement in Krishna consciousness. You do your duty, not neglect duty. But do your duty and neglect the fruit of the work. Because every work will bring some results. So neglect it for your sense gratification and offer it to Krishna while focusing your mind thinking of Krishna. That is the science that's been passed down here through the saintly, kings. Now, we'll talk a little more. Now that is called, in the famous verse in number 2, evam parampara praptam imam rajasyo vidu sakalaneha mahata yoganasta parantapa. This supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. In other words, the way to get this science is as it descends, beginning with Krishna as the source, into the material world. And when we come in contact with that, we take shelter of the Guru Parampara and attain that shelter and get sheltered by the teachings and learn the science. The supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way, through the disciplic succession. In other words, not speculated, but just as it has been passed down. But in the course of time, the succession was broken, and therefore the science as it is appears to be lost. That very saint, that very ancient science of the relationship with the Supreme is today told by me to you. Now why has Krishna picked Arjuna to learn this science? And Krishna explains it in the second part of this verse. Why not to others? Vaktosi mes shakacheti rahasyam yeta uttamam. Vaktosi mes shakacheti. Because you are my bhakta and you are my friend. This rahasya, what does rahasya mean? This very, very secret science. Why is it secret? Because no matter how intelligent you are, you cannot understand it unless you are told it through the disciplic succession. And what is the proof that no one can understand it? No one does understand it. So many Gitas are there, hundreds and hundreds of Bhagavad Gitas, and no one understands anything, actually speaking. I remember when I was in the university, I got a Bhagavad Gita. There's a famous English translation of one, and I read it, and I liked it so much. There were two symptoms of my liking it so much. The first thing, I liked it so much, I had a cat. A pet cat, and I named my cat Bhagavad Gita. That's how much I liked it. I honored the Bhagavad Gita's name so much by naming my cat Bhagavad Gita. And I stayed up all night to read it. And after I read it, it was so wonderful, I thought I would, every night I will stay up all night and read the Bhagavad Gita from now on. Of course, I never did it. But I thought there was only one problem with the Bhagavad Gita, even though it was so wonderful. And what was that one problem that I thought? What right does Krishna have to say that he is God? Other than that, I thought it was very nice. But what right does Krishna have to say that he is God? So that means I didn't understand anything. No one understands anything of the Bhagavad Gita unless they hear it in this specific succession. So, because Arjuna bhaktosime sakacheti rahasyam is the supreme science, this greatest secret, this great mystery, Krishna is now going to explain it to Arjuna. And it is a mystery. We take it for granted. But it is a mystery. A rahasya, a great, vast, deep secret. Now, when Arjuna heard this, he had a doubt. So he said to Krishna, of course it wasn't his own doubt, because he was a devotee and he had full faith in everything that Krishna said. So when a person hears properly with full faith, he doesn't have doubts. He doesn't see contradictions. But he saw a contradiction. He actually didn't see, Arjuna didn't see a contradiction, but because he knows we see contradictions, he's asking us on our behalf. So Arjuna said, You just said that you instructed this science to the sun god, and you were born of the son of, you're known as Devaki, Nandan. You are known as the son of Vasudeva, and you were born maybe 100 years ago, approximately. And the sun god, Vivaswan, was born thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. So how is it possible that you instructed it to him? So Arjuna said, the sun god Vivaswan is senior by birth to you. How am I to understand that in the beginning you instructed the science to him? You're only 100 years old. And Krishna said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, many, many births both you and I have taken, have passed. And I can remember all of them, but you cannot, O subduer of the enemy. You are Parantapa. You are the subduer of the enemy. And you can subdue so many enemies, but you cannot understand this one point. Why can't you remember your many, many births? And I can remember mine. Why? It's because you have changed your body so many times. And when one changes his body, he cannot remember. But myself, I have not changed my body. And he's going to explain this in the next verse. Ajopi sam avyayatma bhutanam ishvaropi sam prakriti sam adistaya sambhavam yatma mayaya. I can remember because I am ajo. What is aja mean? Unborn. Ajo pisan avyayatma. So Arjuna can say very easily, you say you can remember everything because you are ajo, aja. But we also heard ajo nityam shashvato yam parana, that the soul is aja also. So why can't I remember anything? So Krishna says, my dear Arjuna, we are both aja, but ajo pisan avyayatma. Your body is not indestructible, because if you remember what I told you before that, the hinos vinyasadehe komaram jovanam jara tatadehantara praktya jira satra namuyate. Your body changes, but my transcendental body is avyaya atma. It is imperishable. My body is imperishable. It never, never dies. This is transcendental knowledge. This is transcendental knowledge that no one can understand unless they hear it as it comes from the disciplic succession, from the spiritual world to the material world. That Krishna has a body, but it is completely spiritual. It never perishes. It is not composed of anything like our body is composed. It is eternal. Satchidananda vigraha advaitam achyutam anadi ananta rupam adhyam parana purusham navajovanam cha. Did I get it right? Yes. Now Krishna's body is navajovanam. It is always young. It is transcendental. Every sense can do everything. It is all pervading, although it is in one place. This is inconceivable. So therefore we understand there's so much the science of Krishna consciousness is it's called achintya. But what does achintya mean? Yes, but it doesn't really mean inconceivable. It means by your own power you cannot conceive of it. But once you hear it, you can understand it to some degree. Through your own power, when we say this is achintya veda veda tattva, inconceivable, it means through speculative knowledge you can never understand this truth. And here Krishna is giving it to us. And once we hear it, if we have faith, if we have heard properly from the proper source, we can realize it. Krishna is a person and he possesses a transcendental body. Ajopisana vyayama bhutana mishwaropisana prakriti sama distaya sambhavam. I am born yatma mayaya. I come down to this world. Actually, I never come down to this material world, but I appear as if in this material world, not by Mahamaya, but by my internal energy. And wherever I am is Vrindavan. do not appear in this world like you or anyone else. I appear in Vrindavan by my own potency. I am not forced to come into this material world by my punya and pap, my piety or my sin. I am not under the control of the material energy. I am just appearing. Actually, I am appearing to your eyes. I am eternally existent. But now I am letting you see me. And this transcendental body of my mind is so, it is glorious. Satchit Ananda. This is transcendental knowledge. Vedesu dolava madolava brahma bhakta. One cannot understand this through the Vedas, but only Atma Bhakta. Bhakta, what does that mean? Atma Bhakta. What is the self? When we become, have bhakti. What does bhakti mean? It means when Krishna's pleasure becomes the pleasure of our life. Then we can actually understand Krishna. And this is just the beginning of transcendental knowledge about Krishna. Now the next question, or the next point is, Krishna says, although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all living being entities, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. Krishna comes. An example sometimes given is just like the king will go to the prison. And the prisoners may be thinking, oh, just see, the king is in the prison. He's just like us. He's caught. Because I see everyone else in the prison is under control. They have to get up when the guards tell them to get up, go to sleep when the guards tell them to go to sleep. So the king is here, so he must be in the prison as well. But we know that when the king goes to the prison, he is never under the control of the prison. Rather, the whole prison is under his control. So Krishna comes to this material world in his original transcendental form, composed of Satchidananda, eternity, bliss, and knowledge. And why does he come? Excuse me. When does he come? He's explaining that he comes, but when does he come? Text 7. Yada yada idamasya glaniya bhavati bharata abhutanam adamasya tadatmanam shijamyam. I come whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice. O descendant of Bharata, O Arjuna, I come whenever religion is going down and irreligion is coming up. At that time, I myself descend. And what does Krishna do when he descends in his original transcendental form? What does he do? Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya sadhutsvipam. Dhamma samstapanataya sambhavami yuge yuge. Millennium after millennium to protect my devotees and to annihilate the miscreants. I descend to reestablish the principles of religion. Dharma, Samstapanataya. In every age, yuga after yuga after yuga, I descend. So Krishna actually, Prabhupada actually explains in the teachings of Queen Kunti, and it's explained by the Acharyas also, that Krishna does not actually come to reestablish the principles of religion, especially himself. Why? Because he can have his devotees do that. So many incarnations can reestablish the principles of religion. And actually, Krishna doesn't come to protect his devotees either. Why? Because a sadhu is, he's not of this world, so how does he need any protection? He is already protected, he's already saved, he's already not in this world. And also, to kill the demons, Krishna could go like this. And every demon in the universe can be finished. He doesn't have to come to do that. Or he can empower someone to do it. Parasaram killed so many demonic Kshatriya elements. So many. So why does Krishna himself come?
So there is
reasons given. One is that when he says here, Parikranaya Sadunam, that he protects his devotees, what Krishna really means is that the devotee, the nature of a devotee, is to always be thinking about Krishna and feeling separation from him. This is a devotee. And we can measure whether we are devotees or not, whether we are always thinking about Krishna and missing Krishna and wishing that we could serve Krishna and he was right there. So the devotees suffer so much out of separation from Krishna that Krishna comes to relieve their suffering. And that is Parikranaya Sadhana, because they will die in separation. That is Krishna's loving exchange with his devotees. And Prabhupada also explains, ultimately Krishna comes because he wants to. It is his own free will. No one can force him to come, no one can make any reason for him to come, but he wants to come. And then the next verse, very, very, very famous, Prabhupada sometimes would say this is the most important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Dharma karma chame dibhyam evam yo veti tatvata tatvadeham puna janma naiti mam eti so arjana. The one knows, in fact, the nature of Krishna's appearance and activities, janma and karma. He does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in the material world. But he attains Krishna's eternal abode, O Arjuna. So this is the result of knowing about Krishna and hearing about Krishna's form, pastimes and activities, and his birth, janma and karma and activities. The result is we are finished being in the material world. But we have to know it in fact, in truth. Tatpata. That means we have to be living as devotees and deeply enter into the truths of Krishna's pastimes. That must be, means again, we must become pure devotees of Krishna. And the Acharyas also say that not only upon leaving this body will one be liberated, but one even in this, while he is still within the body, can still also be not in this material world at all. So the result of knowing is this liberation. And then 10, which will be the last verse we'll speak of today, Vitaragabhaya Krodha, because in the third chapter it says that we have to become free from what? Kama esha krodha esh rajagano samudbhava mahapatmo mahashano mahapatma vidye nami vahinam. That this is the great enemy, this lust and anger born of passion. So free from vita raga bhaya krodha, free from attachment, fear and anger, manmaya marupashvita, with mind fully engaged in me, fully taking refuge in me. So on one hand, free from this, get rid of all material attachment and fear and anger. And on the other hand, become fully attached to Krishna, with mind fully absorbed in Krishna. And can one do this unless one knows about Krishna? Can we absorb our mind in something that we don't have any information about? Can we? No, of course not. So, if we can do this, become free from all this maya and become attached to Krishna, bhavo jnana tapasa, by this tapasa of jnana, by this transcendental knowledge of the tapasya, or the austerity of fixing our mind always on Krishna, puta madbhavam agata, being purified in this way, one can attain transcendental love for me. Which is even better than the last verse. where one gets liberation, janma karma tamai divyam evam yoviti tatpat, you'll never take birth again, liberation. But this verse, by telling us to focus our mind on Krishna as we are detached, as we are working, we will attain love for Krishna. Because this focusing our mind on Krishna is the essence of sadhana bhakti. Sava vidhi nishena cha etya eva kinkara. Smartavyo sadatam vishnu vishmartavyo na jatache. Always remember Krishna and never forget him. This is the essence of sadhana. And all the rules and regulations of sadhana, or the practices, are meant to keep us always remembering Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada told us to distribute books. Why? So we can say, my dear sir, take this book about Krishna, and we can remember about Krishna as we're telling them about it. And it's good for them, because they're getting a book about Krishna. It's good for us, we're talking about Krishna. We get some donations, that's good. They give some donations, that's good. Such a perfect activity, making life members so prominent in India. So we can talk about Krishna, Krishna consciousness movement, talk about Krishna like that. This is the essence of the activities. Everything, deity worship, preaching, managing, everything was supposed to be remembering Krishna and never forgetting him. And then the result of that is that we become purified. This is the purifying process, remembering Krishna and never forgetting him. And that will bring us to the point, Puta Madhavam Agata. This is transcendental knowledge. Knowledge about how to get it, how to get transcendental knowledge through the cyclic succession. What is transcendental knowledge? And Krishna has given us a hint here of what transcendental knowledge. What is that hint of what transcendental knowledge is that Krishna just gave us? He told us something, but a little bit. What did he tell us? No. That's the process and the result. But what's the transcendental knowledge he told us about himself?
He showed up.
But what did he tell us about himself?
He's got a spiritual body.
And he told us why he comes and when he comes. And the whole Bhagavatam expands that information so much. His spiritual body, Lord Nishringadev, he comes as Bara, he comes as Matsya, he comes as Karma, he comes as Prishnigarbh, he comes to save, who does he come to save? Gajendra. He comes so many times, and this is transcendental knowledge. If we can absorb our mind in remembering about how Krishna takes care of his devotees, that Prahlad Maharaj had nothing to worry about. He was just simply thinking about Krishna all day long, and he had nothing to worry about. He was protected. And Ambarish Maharaj was simply thinking about Krishna, and he was protected. And he was just, and what to speak of Braj Leela in the 10th canto. And that's why Krishna comes also, to present these leelas, these transcendental pastimes for us, so that we have something to think of, and we can have a hope, and we can remember that how we are so much longing for relationships in this material world, and they bring us no satisfaction. And if we can just develop our loving relationship with Krishna, then everything will be satisfied. And instead, so he performs his Braja Leela, Krishna performs his Braja Leela, to direct our consciousness towards him as a person. And this is his great mercy. And Baladeva Vidyabhusan, when he describes Sambhavam Yatmamayaya, he says that Krishna comes by his mercy. And this is his specific mercy that he displays and opens up all of Braja for us to see the incredibly sweet pastimes between Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan. Everything from Krishna being tied to the grinding mortar and Mother Yasoda chastising him, to Krishna going out in the forest and playing with his boyfriends, and then taking ladus and playing with Maru Mangal and Kaliya serpent pastimes, and Aristasura and so on, and lifting Govardhan Hill. And the residents of Vrindavan, when Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, they were just, for 1 week, they were just staring at Krishna. And the gopis were so happy. Why? Because they could stare at Krishna, and no one could criticize them at that time. Because everyone was just amazed how this little Krishna is holding up the hill with the little finger of his left hand, and the cowherd boys are holding up their sticks to help him. And Mother Yasoda is thinking, oh, he must have a great blessing from Narayan to be able to do this. And we understand that Krishna, to protect his devotees, is he working very hard? No, just with the little finger of his left hand. Does that give us inspiration to take shelter of Krishna and seek his protection and seek his loving exchanges? It should. And we should learn this art and hear about Krishna from the Bhagavatam, from the Bhagavad Gita, from Chaitanya Charitamrita, and get our mind focused on Krishna. And if we don't do that, our mind will go to the material world, you can be sure of it. If we are not attracted by the sweetness of relationship with Krishna, we are sure to be attracted by the mundane flesh and bones and marrow and mucus and blood and bones of the material world and hair. We must be attracted, because just like if there's a mirror and in the mirror we see some nice prasadam and we're very hungry, and we're also hungry for loving relationships, we are starving for this, and all we see is the mirror image in the glass, we'll just get so attracted to that unless we see the real thing. If we see the real thing, the real fruit, the real rice, the real samosas or whatever, the gulab jamun, sweet rice, if we see the real, then we won't even look at the mirror image, the reflection. So similarly, this world is a reflection. And if we don't get a taste for the sweetness of relationship with Krishna, we are sure to fall down into mundane life. We are sure to do it.